We've been talking about what? What's been the subject? The Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the importance of us being baptized in the Holy Spirit, us being able to commune with God through tongues, being able to be led by God through tongues and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And now we're at the point where we want to start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But as I began to meditate on that and begin to formulate that, the Spirit of God said, no, we're not ready for that yet. And I went, really? Now, you know, the next logical step would be getting into the gifts of the Spirit, talking about the supernatural and laying on of hands and seeing God move and all, you know, we like that part of it. But there is something else that we need to understand first, and that is operating in the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we're not established in the fruit of the Spirit, and this is what we're going to get into, then our motivation when we walk into the gifts won't be good. Because if you're motivated by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, if you're operating in that, if that's what's flowing out of you, then when you operate in spiritual gifts, you won't do it selfishly. You won't do it self-promoting. You'll do it in love. You won't prophesy to somebody and say, "Thus says the Lord, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to remove your candlestick." That's not the way prophecy is to be done. Prophecy is for edification, exhortation, for comfort. And I found many people that rebuke people in that. It's that they just have a personal problem with that person and they're using a spiritual gift to get the job done. So they don't have to, you know, it's God telling you this, not me telling you. See, that's selfishness. That's self-ambition. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. So we must have the fruit of the Spirit established in our lives so that when we walk into spiritual gifts, then we're doing it in love. We're doing it in joy. We're doing it in peace. We're doing it in long-suffering. We're doing it in gentleness and meekness. So the next step that we need to take is establish these things on the inside of us that as we do, then when we work in the spiritual gifts, then we're going to walk in these things and we're going to do it God's way and not our own way. Do you bear witness with this? And I'm excited because I know I'm going to learn a lot of things through this as I study it out and I put this thing together. But so we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Let's go to Galatians 5:16. What Paul shares here is amazing revelation in this. Galatians 5:16 through 25. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's many of us that struggle with things in our lives and we're wondering, how come I can't get victory over this thing? I know it's a flesh thing. I can't seem to get a handle on it. It seems like I keep falling for, I've got bad attitudes. I've got problems and I can't seem to get rid of this flesh stuff. And how did he say to deal with it? To walk in the Spirit, isn't it? He didn't say grab yourself by the collar and discipline yourself. He simply said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now think about that. If our focus is on the Spirit, then our focus is not going to be on the flesh, is it? If you are putting the flesh aside, you have to fill that emptiness with something else. Jesus said that when a man's house is cleaned out, when he gets delivered from spirits, and it's, if he doesn't replace it with something else, then another spirit will welcome seven more and come right back in, and the man's state will be worse than it was before. Paul said in Colossians 1:16 says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness but we've also been translated in the kingdom of His dear Son. Something has to replace it. So what has to happen here is that before we were born again, we completely depended on our flesh for survival, for everything. I mean, we felt like if we, you know, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, we had to completely depend on our five physical senses and depend on our flesh to survive. But now that we've been born again, now we have our spirit reborn, recreated, now we're to depend on the Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So let's go on now. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things which you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Notice now he's telling them to walk in the Spirit, now be led in the Spirit, and later on he's going to say, and then we need to live in the Spirit. And that should be our attention. That's what we should be giving attention to, the Spirit. And if we give all of our attention to the Spirit, then we're not going to have room to think about the flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Man, this is good. This is good stuff. Because if we're going to have victory in our lives and we're going to demonstrate the things of God in our lives, we need to be more walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, than being led by our flesh. And we have the capacity within ourselves to walk in the Spirit. Because we're reborn, recreated spirits. Before, we didn't have that capacity, but we have that capacity now. So he says here in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." You know, those that are totally in the flesh, those are not born again, people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that's all they have to depend on, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But I'm here to tell you right now, as Christians, if we're depending on the flesh instead of the Spirit, we're not going to reap the benefits of being in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom, but we're not going to have the benefit of it. And why is that? Because we are depending on our flesh. We're flesh-driven versus Spirit-driven. So he's telling the Corinthian or the Galatian church here that there is another way to live, another way to go. And it says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." If the Spirit lives in us and we're living with the Spirit and we're connected with the Spirit and we have this awesome relationship with God, then he's saying, don't let it just be in us, let us walk in it and it come out of us. His purpose is that what has been created in us and what is in us is this fruit of the Spirit. That's our nature now. It's not a flesh nature, it is a spirit nature now. And this spirit nature is in us, but we're going to have to work it out of us. Now, how many people can bear witness to that? I mean, we got born again. We're going to talk about the difference between sanctification and holiness. Today we'll talk about sanctification, and then next week we'll talk about holiness and how much they're alike but different. But when you're sanctified, that's something that happened to you at your birth, at your new birth. Your spirit became sanctified. It's established. But there is an element in there that's holiness that we obtain, but that is going to be worked out of us. And it looks like the fruit of the Spirit. That's what that looks like. And it's a progressive thing in our lives. And we have to work these things in our lives on purpose, working with the Holy Spirit to work these things out in us. Amen? This is the direction that we're going in. That we want to establish in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. That it's not just something that we are, but something that we're doing. Something that's coming out of us. And we're going to examine each one of these fruit of the Spirit. What do they look like? And how to operate in them. Amen. How many people really, they want to walk better 6 months from now than where you're at now? And it takes a conscious effort. It's not something that happens automatically. Now, when you got born again, boom, you're born again. You're sanctified. You're holy. You're perfect. But to work that now out of you, out here, so that not only do you benefit from it, but others benefit from it, is what we're going to endeavor to work on. And as you work on these things in our lives, then our motivations will be good towards people. We'll be more loving towards people. We'll have more joy, more peace in ourselves. We'll be more outreaching. We'll be more patient and long-suffering with people. And when we do that, when we have that established in our lives, then when we go into spiritual gifts, then we'll have the proper connotation of how to operate in those gifts, in that I am wanting to reach out to people and minister to people and for their best interests and not for my self-promotion. Oh, I want to be able to lay hands on the sick so that they will recover, so people think I'm a spiritual bigwig. Woo! The wrong motivation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Instead of, I love this person, I want to see them whole. I don't want any credit, I just want to see them healed. See, you see the difference? And if we are not walking in the fruit of the Spirit, we haven't cultivated that, then we're going to have a tendency then, when we get into spiritual giftings, to abuse them and hurt people. And are you hearing what I'm saying? Man. So these are some of the things that the Lord has been talking to me about this week. And I've been excited about being able to share it with you. So 24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To operate in the gifts of the Spirit properly, we must operate in the fruit of the Spirit proficiently. More important than operating in the gifts of the Spirit, we need to do them with the motivation of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. To walk in the Spirit is to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, or are led by the Spirit, we will walk victorious over sin. And our focus is outwardly displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 13, sorry. 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Let me illustrate the importance of us walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Paul emphasized this in Galatians, but now here he is emphasizing it here as he's teaching the church how to function in the gifts of the Spirit. And so he says this in 1 Corinthians. Notice that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll get into this later when we get back into the gifts, talks about the different gifts of the Spirit and how to operate in those, and their different functions. And then he goes into chapter 13 and starts talking about love. And then when he gets done with that, then he goes to chapter 14 and starts talking about how to do the gifts, particularly tongues and interpretation tongues, and doing them decently and in an order and prophesying properly in a congregation. But it seems like chapter 13 is like he got off the subject and all of a sudden went off on this love thing. And then he swung back on to talking about spiritual gifts. It was no accident. Because what Paul is trying to express here, he says, you know, you people are operating spiritual gifts, and it's commendable that you desire them, but you're way off course because your motivation is wrong in the way that you're operating in the gifts. You're just doing them selfishly. And I'm going to bring you into a decently and in order way of of operating in spiritual gifts. And he starts describing one of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. He says, we need to be operating in love before we get into operating in the gifts of the Spirit. We need to be operating in fruit first. So there's like a sandwich there. He's got 1 Corinthians 12, talking about gifts. And then he's got some good meat in there, and in between the bread there, of talking about love or a spiritual fruit. And then he comes back in with another slice of bread and sticks in there and gets back to talking about spiritual gifts. And if we don't have our proper order, if our motivation isn't right, and this was the problem they were having, was that their motivation was off. They weren't doing anything in love. They were doing everything by the flesh. They were being fleshy. They were being self-promoting and operating in gifts. Paul says, I got to rein you in. We got to get this motion right. In fact, look at chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I have become sounding brass or a clanking cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. What's he saying there? He's talking about the spiritual gifts, and he's going, they mean nothing if I don't have fruit first. Isn't that what he's saying? The fruit of love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there is prophecies, they shall fall or fail. Whether there are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there are knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. I want you to notice that as he's describing love, as he's describing the motivation and how their hearts are supposed to be, if they're going to operate in spiritual gifts, so much of what he's saying there, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. We need the fruit of the Spirit operating in our lives. Amen? And our families will be better off for it. We'll be better spouses, better parents to our kids, better people to our friends and to others around us, because if our motivation and what we're spending our time pursuing is the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and being led in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, if that's our pursuit, then we're going to treat people around us way better. And we're going to be so much more sensitive to the things of God. So when somebody around us has a need or somebody around us is hurting or something, we're going to be more sensitive to them. And instead of trying to promote ourselves, we're out to promote Jesus. Instead of trying to establish ourselves in something to lift ourselves up, instead we are trying to lift others up and bring them to Jesus and give them deliverance and think about them first. It's true. There might be somebody that says, I really need you, Pastor. And it's lunchtime. Well, maybe we can set up an appointment because, you know, my stomach's growling. No, I can eat anytime. What do you need? What are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the motivation. The flesh can be fed later. Let's get down to business here. Jesus was ministering to the Samaritan woman at the well, and the disciples went to go get food for him. And when they came back, here he is ministering, and here's all this crowd coming out of Samaria to the well for him to minister to. And they said, oh, Master, you should eat first. He goes, I got food you know not of. See, his motivation was people, being about his Father's business, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. That was his focus. The flesh can be dealt with later. We can, you know, we can eat later, guys. Are you hearing me? Man, this is good. And I'll tell you what, if your heart's not tied to the nerd table, that's freedom. That's liberty, isn't it? Amen. If you're hooked up, you know, if you're hung up on taters and gravy, God's going to go, I'll have to go get somebody else. How many want to be used of God? We need the fruit of the Spirit operating in our lives. So our flesh isn't dictating to us and being the thing that's driving us every day. Now go to chapter 14 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. This is powerful. Listen to what he says. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. He didn't say lay spiritual gifts down, but he said, what did he say first? He said, first, we need to pursue the fruit of the Spirit in our life, have that established, and then pursue the gifts. And in fact, he puts more emphasis on us seeking and chasing after the fruit, which one of the fruits is love, and that's the one he's using here. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim and your great quest. Wow. He didn't put that kind of emphasis on the spiritual gift, did he? He said pursue it, but I'm telling you what's greater is pursuing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So that now when you step into gifts, He can trust you with those gifts. You can operate in those gifts the way the Spirit would. You would do it Spirit-led and not flesh-led. You'd be promoting Jesus instead of promoting yourself. You would be using it because you love people, not because you're trying to promote yourself. And when we have the right motivation, we're going to see more power. We're going to see things happening the way they should be happening and doing it decently and in order the way Paul said that the church needs to be operating in them. And one of the reasons why the church itself does not really, there's so many churches out there that just, they don't even want to go in spiritual gifts. They don't want to move in the Spirit. They don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit because people get wacky. People get into trouble. People start getting self-centered. They start, and I think the reason why is because they don't teach their people to operate in the fruit, have fruit in their life before they start operating in gifts. And so they're not going to operate in spiritual gifts decently and in order if we're not mindful of and chasing after the Holy Spirit first and manifesting the Spirit in our life first. And the characteristics of the Holy Spirit and our spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. And if we have that operating in our lives, then praise God, the gifts are going to flow so much better and they're going to be under the right motivation. Go to John 3. John 3, 1. Talking about walking in the Spirit. We're going to answer the question, this Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit, this Spirit that he's talking about, is he talking about the Holy Spirit? Or is he talking about my reborn, recreated spirit? And that's a common question that people have concerning the gift or the fruit of the Spirit. So what did Jesus tell Nicodemus in John 3, 1? Now therefore is a certain man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a leader, and this is, I have it in the Amplified, a leader in authority among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know and are certain that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs, these wonder workers, these miracles and produce the proofs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, that unless a person is born again, anew, from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a mother's womb again and be born? Jesus answered, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a man is born of water and even of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of from the flesh is flesh, of the physical is physical. And what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I do not, and be not surprised or astonished at me telling you, you must be born again from above. I want you to notice that he said that when you're born of that which is born of the flesh produces flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, produces a spirit. I want you to know that an orange tree produces what? Oranges. It does not produce lemons, does it? Everything produces after its own kind. So if you are born of the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus just said here, then you have all the characteristics, you have all the fruit, you have all the everything that the Holy Spirit, you have those in your spirit. So to answer the question is, when they're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, are they talking about the Holy Spirit fruit, or are they talking about your spirit fruit? The answer is yes. You have the fruit of the Spirit already in your spirit. And we need to work it out of us. You're already born again. You're already sanctified. You're already whole. But there is the element of now getting it from what's inside and bringing it to the outside. Are you capturing what I'm saying here? You're born of the Spirit. That which is born of spirit is spirit. All things reproduce after its kind. Orange to orange, a dog to a dog, etc. Whatever the Holy Spirit is, we are born just like Him. If the Holy Spirit has 9 attributes or traits, then we have these 9 attributes and traits because we're born of Him. There are characteristic traits we share with our God. We look just like our Father in heaven. Man, we need to get an inner image of that on the inside of us. We look like our Father. We're His children. You have joy even if I don't feel like it in my soul. Even when you don't feel joyful, you need to glean the joy that's on the inside of you and say, no, I am joyful in this. When somebody's not being loving towards us, we need to love them anyway. We have that capacity on the inside of us. That's a fruit of the Spirit. And we're manifesting that. That which has been invested in us, we're endeavoring to bring out of us. And we see that in Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. How many of us could take an unjust beating, an unjust trial from your creation and have that much forgiveness towards them, that much love towards them? That's a demonstration of fruit of the Spirit. Man. And that's in us. That's in us. We're able to forgive when it's impossible. But see, here's the thing. It's not by your flesh. It's not by your soulish man. It's by your spirit that you're able to forgive supernaturally. Man, I'll tell you, we watched Joyce Meyer's One Life, I think is what the name of it was. It's her testimony of how she grew up. All of the sexual abuse that she went through with her father. I mean, it is just like, wow, what she endured. And you know what? In his final days, her mom and dad's final days, she moved them closer to her and she completely took care of them till the day they died. Wow. After all of the abuse that she went through with her dad and her mom just ignoring it and letting it happen. But before he died, before her father died, he saw her love and compassion towards him, even after he knew what he had done. It took 3 years, and he finally pulled her aside and broke down and cried, and he says, "How can you forgive me for what I've done to you your whole childhood and your whole life?" I mean, and Joyce says, "I do, I forgive you." And he came to Christ. He got born again before he died because she demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in our naturalness, in our carnalness, I mean, it's impossible for us to forgive after that, after being treated and abused like that. But if we're operating in the Spirit, and she cultivated this in her life, this didn't happen overnight. It took, she said it was a process for her to come to the place where she could take the fruit of the Spirit and so work it out of her life and bring it out here, that which was on the inside of her, that she's able to forgive a father that spent 15 years, sexually abusing her, to the place where she can love him and help him and to the day he died. Man. And this is possible. This is what we benefit. See, she had walked in forgiveness for years and years and years. So she benefited from working on the fruit of the Spirit in her life so that she's not walking around in hate and unforgiveness and offense and everything towards her father. But she was able to work it out so much to the place to where now she's able to actually minister to the person that did these things to her and bring them to Christ. So not only was she benefiting from developing the fruit of the Spirit in her life, but others were able to pick from her branch and pick from her fruit and be able to be saved and be benefited. And that's where we're going. That's where we need to be. And I'll tell you, after her testimony, says, "Man, I got no problems." Man. But that's the power of exercising the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of us. Sanctification. The definition of sanctification is the state God makes you when you're born again, separated unto Him. This is something that happens at being born again. Instantly, you are sanctified and you are whole and you are perfect. This happened to your spirit man. It didn't happen to your flesh. When you got born again, you're still the same person. You know, I mean, if you don't have any hair when you get born again, you're not going to have any after you get born again. If you've got some bad attitudes and you've got some issues that you're dealing with because your soulish man has not been born again, was not redeemed, you're still going to be dealing with these same offenses and passions and these same things in your life. But our spirit was completely reborn, recreated, and sown into there with sanctification, and the fruit of the Spirit is in there waiting for us to harvest, waiting for us to bring out of us so that our soulish man can learn how to forgive, not be offended, to be loving, to walk in joy and peace, to have all of those things that we need to walk in this life and to manifest Jesus. These things have been invested in us. And so we've been sanctified. This is something that God did by grace, and you received it by faith. Notice that He did it, not we did it. We simply received it, and He caused the creative work in our lives, didn't He? Instantly sanctified at the new birth, it's done. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sunlenus, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, or name, yes, name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Notice that he says that we are sanctified. We're already sanctified and called to be saints. So it's something that's already been established. Not when somebody lays hands on you are you sanctified and called a saint. Not 10 years after you were saved and you really rededicate your life to God and now I'm sanctified and I'm a saint before God. No, it happened at your birth, at your spiritual birth. It's already established. You're already sanctified. So I'd like everybody here to sit down. No, really, I mean it. Sit down. Are you going to sit or aren't you? Now, how frustrating is it to try to do something you already are? Huh? You're already sanctified. Quit trying to be sanctified. You are sanctified. Sanctification is your established state with God. All right? So we need to establish that you are sanctified. Because there are many people that would say, because I am sanctified, I am saved by grace and all these kind of things, then God doesn't care and it doesn't matter to Him what I do, how I carry myself, what I do with my life, I don't care, and that's simply not true. When we are wanting to walk in holiness, when we're wanting to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, it's a process. You're not trying to earn your salvation. You already are saved. But because you are saved, now you want to walk in holiness. Now you want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Now you want to take that the fact of who you are and bring it out to here. Amen. And there's some people who just make the plain excuses like, well, now that I'm saved, I don't have to better myself. I don't have to go move forward. I don't have to. And God's desire, He gave us the fruit of the Spirit for a reason, so that we can manifest that to the outside, so that we can walk in victory and touching other people's lives and not just living a selfish life of, well, I'm saved, now I'm going about my business and doing whatever, you know. We want to be touching people. We want to be about our Father's business. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to live in the Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. And Paul said we need to be pursuing this with our whole heart. Amen. Now I know that in doing that, people are going to say, well, that's a work. Well, it's... You're not working for your salvation. That's already established. Have we already established that? That you can't do in and of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are saved by grace. But what you are inside and what God has invested in you is that newborn, recreated spirit, born of the Holy Spirit. We need to be manifesting that now out of us and walking holy lives. Like it's quiet in here. No gears are turning. Man. But it's for our betterment and it's for the people around us betterment, isn't it? This is so good. But we want to establish that we are sanctified. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. So notice your sanctification came by the Spirit. Why? Because you're born of the Spirit. And it's an established fact, you are sanctified. Amen. We are born of the Spirit. Sanctification is by the Spirit. We looked at that in John 3. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Sanctification is what you become at salvation. Go to Hebrews 10:9. Coming down to the end. Hebrews 10:9. Then he said, behold, me. Hebrews 10:9, then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, which was animal sacrifices and being justified through that and the law, that he may establish the second, which is Christ as the sacrifice. But by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So here it says again that we have been sanctified. It's already established. We are sanctified. So as we're working on the fruit of the Spirit, it's not we're doing it to try to earn salvation. We're not doing it to earn respect from God or a better position with God. We're walking in the fruit of the Spirit and endeavoring to chase after that so that our lives will be better and we can touch other people's lives and make theirs better. It's not to earn our salvation towards Him. Jude 1:1, this will be our final scripture, Jude 1:1, just before Revelations. Jude 1:1, or Jude 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. So once again, he's saying that you're already sanctified by God the Father and you're preserved. It says that in the Amplified, if we looked at the Amplified on that word preserved, the Amplified translates it separated, set apart, and kept for Jesus Christ. So that's already an established fact that you are sanctified. Next week we'll talk about holiness. Here's the definition of holiness. Holiness is the character and conduct of those who have experienced salvation or sanctification by which the life of Christ is worked out of them. Amen. And we'll explore that next week. We'll talk about holiness. And what does holiness look like? It looks like the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Are you getting anything from this? Yeah. It has been good, good, good. There's so much more to be said about that, but for the sake of time, in fact, I actually cut some stuff out there because we are going to have communion. This is Communion Sunday. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that we've been sanctified, isn't it? Man, oh man. That the whole time we're working on the fruit of the Spirit and who we are in Christ, we're working that to the outside. God is not holding anything to our charge while we're developing. He's infinitely patient with us, isn't He? As we work on these things in our lives, because He knows that we're going to benefit so much from it. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which was also delivered." You can go ahead and pass out. Go ahead and pass the elements out. "For I received from the Lord that which is also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night of which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. So do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And what is this marvelous work that he's done in us? In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, "But with the blood of goats and calves," not with the blood of goats and calves, "but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." You have eternal redemption. That's what he bought and paid for with his blood. In verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, whom through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. Remember, that's what we're dealing with here, a new covenant, isn't it? We're remembering this new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Eternal inheritance. Verse 25, not that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered most high place every year with the blood of another. He then would have not suffered often since the foundations of the world, but now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifices of himself, and as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. For Christ has offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin or salvation. Notice he says in Hebrews 10:10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. In verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool.